everyone, and welcome back to the Run Strong podcast with me, Gary House. We've got another interview for you in this episode, episode 12, and it is with Simon Roberts, who I first met back at the Dragon's Back last year. And I think we get into how we met, but basically one of the first long descents on day one, Simon was the only person that kind of could get anywhere near me, being honest. But yeah, there's other reasons because of that. I thought I'd gone the wrong way until I saw him behind me. But turns out maybe I just wasn't pacing myself properly. But anyway, we first met then, probably spent a few hours together, to and fro in on the mountains then. We finished within a few minutes of each other. And we pretty much spent every evening that week just relaxing over tea, and we kind of got on quite well. He's Welsh too, and he had a good group of lads with him. So yeah, it was quite good meeting someone that was on my wavelength, I guess, and we've pretty much stayed in touch ever since. So yeah, this is Simon's interview. He goes through about the Spine race that he's just completed. The Spine, in case you're kind of living under a rock, is a 268-mile race across the Pennine Way, or 429 kilometres. Starts in Edale, Derbyshire, and finishes in Kirkyetholm in Scotland, which I'm reading off their website. I'm not that kind of good on that race. People have asked, every time this race comes along, they do ask, what about the Spine? Are you going to do the Spine? At the minute, I've got no interest in it. I have to wear I've got Montan kind of winter gloves, mountaineering gloves, actually, that I sometimes have to wear in the summer. My hands go purple and I've got a touch of Raynard's, that kind of thing. So, the 268-mile walk hasn't got kind of too much interest to me right now while I can still run. Maybe when I'm retired or stop getting faster, I'll look at it. And because it's just, yeah, the weather thing and the conditions is what makes that race just completely batshit mental, if I'm honest. But anyway, yeah, he goes into his expectations before the race, what happened during the race, which is really interesting, and how that changed. Just how he went about completing the Spine. So it's good timing because today is the 2nd of February, and I think entries open today and it's already full. So whereas people like Simon, and I know Debbie Consani, I was following them and the guys at the front and all the way to the back, have inspired me not to do this race. It seems like they keep inspiring plenty of people to go and do it. Anyway, as for this week, yeah, I'm going to briefly touch on kind of my training, which has picked up a little bit, thank God. I've had the kind of best week since that rib injury. I fractured my rib back in December, but I've managed to put away 136k, pushing 3,000 metres of climb, some real specific sessions in the middle of all that. So yeah, it's not about the volume really, miles wise or kilometres wise, but it's always nice to look on Strava and see it creeping up. I think 136k is the, looking back, I haven't hit that kind of distance since November time, since before the build up to the Autumn 100 last year. So hopefully things are going well. I've got absolutely zero niggles or anything like that at the minute. The home gym is just about being set up in the garage, so it's all looking good, full steam ahead. I have got, for anyone that's interested, Ras Deri Sant in February. I think that's towards the end of February, down in South Wales, St David's. Trail marathon on the coast. Then I have Kielder 50k around about April the 4th. Kick on to the Highland Fling, which I'm looking forward to again, and catching up with loads of people up in Scotland. And then we have got things like Mont Blanc 90k and the TDS to kind of work towards. So yeah, lots of things to look forward to. Best way to kind of catch up with all that is on Strava. I'm quite enjoying some of the interactions I'm getting on Strava these days. Or just follow me on Instagram. Get on my email list if you want any kind of tips or inspiration coaching wise. The email list, just click on my links in the kind of podcast description or on Instagram. Okay, that's enough of that. I'm getting better at the intros, maybe, but if there's anything you want me to talk about, or if you've got any ideas for the podcast, just, you know, contact me in the usual in the usual way, Instagram, bloody email or anything like that. Next episode, we have got I'm going to say he's one of the top mountain runners and multi-day eventers, definitely in Europe and possibly the world, although he won't like me saying that. It's a great chat, so I'll kind of encourage you to subscribe, write a good review, and we'll keep on getting guests like this. I won't let on who it is yet, but yeah, you'll have to wait and see next week. Okay, here is Simon Roberts's interview, all about him breaking the spine race. Right, we're with Simon Roberts, spine finisher, 2020. Hi, Si, how you doing, mate?
Good, thanks, Gary. How's it going?
Yeah, not bad. So it's been 10 days since you finished the spine. But before we dive into the spine, I'm going to rewind. I met Si at the Dragon's Back race, we both did. And, I thought I'd gone the wrong way, but I turned around and you were there. That's the first time I noticed, and I thought, oh, we must have dropped everyone on that descent.
We did, but then they dropped us.
So. Whoa, I wasn't going to go that far. Because I thought, oh, I'm doing all right here. I don't know if I didn't think we hammered it down there. I just thought I'm a better descender than everyone else. And then
the climb off Triffin there, just horrible. Yeah. And everybody just shot off in the distance.
Yeah. I mean, I struggled. I couldn't get up Triffin at all. It was just like, I was dizzy and everything. So
yeah, you were moaning about headaches and whatnot.
I had a headache and everything. I felt great until then. But enough about that. And then we kind of just... We weren't far away from each other for the rest of that day then, were we?
Yeah, we had the day together anyway.
Yeah, and then I'd kind of think, right, I'll run with Si tomorrow because he seems a decent runner, good lad. I just couldn't get my kit together quick enough to go off. So, it's just like the last bit. I remember day two, and it was just me and Galen Reynolds was there, and I was all right, Galen, and he was shocked thinking he was going off last. It was just... I think he thought I was better than I was, but I just couldn't get my kit together quick enough.
Couldn't pack your bag.
Yeah. Because I remember him looking at my name on the number. On the thing. Said,
who's this?
Gary, you all right? I was like, yes, mate, yeah, just a bit late. It's not that I was worried about cut-offs or anything, but I think he thought I was trying to wait for him so I could run with him or something.
Yeah. Oh, those bags were a nightmare, though.
I'm just rubbish at that stuff, like... I'll work on that next time. But yeah, we had a good half a day together or whatever, and then basically spent every evening avoiding all the other runners, didn't we?
That was it. That's antisocial.
Yeah, I got lucky there because I think we had a nice little group there, so just didn't need to speak to anyone else.
Yeah, no, it was a good little Welsh group as well. A couple of the old guys from your training group as well, I think, as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was quite relaxed. We didn't really have the maps out as soon as we finished day one, did we?
No.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
So fast forward. So that was back in May, the end of May. I remember quite quickly you told me that you'd entered the spine. When did you enter?
I entered the spine. It was... the January before the Dragon's Back.
You'd already entered.
Yeah, so it was during training, the Dragon's Back.
And so what drew you to... First of all, what drew you to Dragon's Back? We'll just quickly go over that.
The Dragon's Back. So I've done a number of 50-mile ultras, all the ones in South Wales and the Beacons. I was just looking for the next challenge, and I wanted a big one. So... yeah, that's what drew me to the Dragon's Back. But also the fact of running the length of my home country as well, that appealed to me. So yeah, that's why I went for that.
You were the other way around to me, weren't you? You were basically running home.
Yeah, I was running home, yeah.
Yeah. So before the Dragon's Back, for anyone listening, give us a brief running history. You said a couple of 50-milers and things like that.
Yeah, well, I started the fitness thing really about 5 years ago. I started doing OCR, doing like that race and Spartan races and things like that. And then I just kept getting injured all the time from all that. So I just do the easy bit, I do the running bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we just cracked on then with running.
Sorry, were you better at the running bit?
Yeah, I was definitely more comfortable with all that. I've always had skinny arms and stuff, so I couldn't pull myself up on anything. Then just started. My first ultra was, it was the Gower Ultra. I forgot what year that is, about 5 years ago now. And yeah, really got into it. I liked running slow for a long time.
Oh, okay.
Got comfortable with that.
So what's the shortest race you'd enter? Did you do any of the local fell runs or anything?
Yeah, I started fell running pretty much straight after Dragon's Back. So I joined the club, Minivood and Cymru, which is South Wales Mountain Club. And yeah, so I smashed the fell races all last summer.
So you only took up the fell running after Dragon's Back?
Yeah. But I was training, obviously, in the hills before Dragon's Back. Yes. Then I actually got into proper fell racing after Dragon's Back.
Where do you live, exactly?
Pontypridd, South Wales. It's about a half hour to the Beacons.
Yeah.
That's where I spend my weekends.
Nice and miserable.
Yeah. Yeah, so this talk is going to be very miserable.
So you thought you'd pick... So the spine, you'd entered that in January before Dragon's Back. What was...
Yeah.
I'm always interested in, like I said, when I met you, you were flying on Dragon's Back. So what drew you to the spine race? Did you assume you were just going to hammer that?
I was feeling good during my training for the Dragon's Back. And then the Jasmine Paris story happened. And I was thinking, oh, I could do that. That'd be easy.
Yeah, she made it look easy. Yeah,
she did. Yeah, definitely. You know, you watch the videos of her at the finish, and then you watch the videos of John Kelly at the finish. He's getting helped up by about four people, and she's just smiling, holding her kid.
Yeah, well,
as if she's done nothing.
She's the only one that eats on these things, I think.
Yeah,
by the sounds of things, the lads don't seem to eat at the front.
I ate bloody loads. Yeah. I just kept having bowl after bowl after bowl and everything.
And
straight back to work then. Recovery was okay for the Dragon's Back. I think I had about 2 weeks off running and then got back into the training then. And started racing.
Was it, yeah, so you're doing the fell races and stuff. Did you have an eye on the spine then, or was it just getting some shorter runs in?
I wasn't training for the spine then, no. I was just concentrating on fell racing. Yeah. So I was working on a lot of my hill repetitions, a lot of my speed work then as well, just get better at the fell races. Because when I'd done my first few races, I was middle of the pack. And then as the summer went on, then I was starting to get up the front then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and then you had the Cheviot Goat in December. When did you decide to do that?
Sorry, say again?
When did you decide to do that? Was that always part of the plan?
Yeah, because I heard that was a good prep race for the spine because it's the part of the last section in the Cheviots.
Yeah.
Same condition. It's in December, so you've got the same shitty conditions.
Not the same race.
Same. No, but the first day on the Sunday, the spine was the pace of the Cheviot Goat.
Okay, yeah, okay.
And that's what done me in.
So that's why you did the first bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if anyone followed the Cheviot Goat, or I'm assuming they'll have heard about it. It summed that one up pretty quickly. It always looks pretty brutal. Is it just the weather conditions, or is it the route? What?
So it's the Cheviots. They're basically just big bog pits, swimming pools of mud, and there's a lot of it. And when the weather's crap, there is shit. It's really exposed, really cold, really wet.
Yeah.
Yeah, really miserable.
Where did you finish in that one? I mean, I know.
Come third.
Come third.
Yeah, so that's my first big podium, I think.
Yeah, that was good. I tracked that one. And I won't lie, I kept thinking you were going to blow up.
Yeah, I did think that as well. But I was on it with my food. I just kept eating every half hour and just never died.
No, you seem pretty consistent, and then at one point, from the track, it looked like you were in a bit of a group. Could you see each other then? Were you that close?
Yeah, so Adam was in the front. Adam Potter, he was at Dragon's Back as well.
Yeah.
He was at the front for most of the race, but I could always see him in my eye. He's always a green dot.
Okay.
He was never out of my sight. And then, Galen come past then and blasted us in the second third.
Yeah, I only saw the second half kind of dipping in and out. How come he was behind? Had he gone?
Not sure. He was just chilling with John Kelly having a chat, I think.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
And then he just thought, oh, I've had enough of this chat now, and I'm going to go win this race.
So third place. That was a good result, though. Yeah. Did you think that was on the cards beforehand, or was it just a training good effort?
I was feeling really fit for it, fit as I've ever been, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I knew I was going to be top 10 anyway. Yeah. Then, to have a top 3, that was awesome. Just filled me with confidence then. Feeling good after that.
What kind of navigation do you need for that one? Because I had a couple of guys that are coaching it, and they're pretty good at navigating, I think. But so I haven't really spoke to them. Don't worry about them. But is there any at all?
They give you a GPX file.
So just use
that on my watch.
Yeah.
But they decided to run the race in reverse on the morning of the race. So yeah, just had to go backwards, really.
Okay. Which you think would have been easy? Well, tougher.
I'm not sure. I've never done it before. I'm not sure. Adam, who did do it before, he thinks it's pretty much the same.
Yeah, it's not going to be much different, is it? Especially if they're changing because of the weather conditions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much recovery after that. Did you have some time off?
I had about a full week off doing nothing, and then I gradually got back into training for the spine.
Yeah, because I guess once you've ticked off that goat, you don't have to do too much before the spine. And is that what you were thinking?
No, I didn't really get up to the volume of the training I was doing, say before the GV yet. So I just kept it nice. Kept doing my long runs on the weekends and doing my odd hours then in the weekdays.
So leading up to the spine, getting closer to the spine, what were you confident of? I mean, like, what were your expectations beforehand? Did you? Which is a weird question. I know everyone just wants to get through it, but...
Yeah, my expectations were completely wrong to the reality. I was full of confidence coming from the goat.
Yeah,
I thought, oh, I could have these guys now. I could do this.
Yeah.
So yeah, I went into the first day and just hammered myself into the ground. Basically, you treated it like a one day ultra. I still had like 230 miles left.
So were you running with a front group or just off the group?
With the front group, I think I had the fastest first split as well, and the boys from my club noticed.
Yeah. Did that feel comfortable at the time?
At the time, yeah.
Yeah.
At the time, I was all right. And I was eating every hour. The pace was fast. I was expecting it to be slower.
Yeah.
So I was with the likes of John Kelly, Eugenie, and there was another foreign chap as well. But yeah, they were hammering and they weren't slowing down. So I was expecting them to slow down, say, after the first climb.
Yeah.
But they just didn't happen. It was a blistering pace.
What was the ground like at the start? Can you run kind of thing when you say it's blistering pace?
So at the start, yeah, it's mainly pad stones and rocks.
Ah, okay.
It was all wet. It was all soaking wet.
Mm.
So yeah, you could have some good speed on there.
What kit did you go in with?
Kit?
Yeah,
I was really happy with my kit. So for my shell, I had a Gore-Tex Pro Montane.
Yeah.
And for my bottoms, I had just normal winter leggings. Then I had a Berghaus Gore-Tex over trousers. Socks. I went with the Injinji toe socks, then with seal skins on top of that.
Yeah.
My shoes. Yeah, I went with the physical VJ Sports, the Max ones, with the cushion.
They do all right on
that. So they were, yeah, they done good, yeah. And well, they were all right until I got to the really, really wet, shitty mud. Now it's just all over the place then.
Okay, yeah. Do you think any shoe would have been all right in that? Or
Nah. I think everyone was falling over.
Yeah.
There's a lot of injuries. A lot of injuries on day one, so.
Yeah. So kind of, I'm assuming people might know what the spine is, but do you know the distance? What is it, 230-something?
268 miles.
268 miles, okay. And what is, do you know the elevation? I've got it here somewhere.
It's about 13,500 metres, I think, something like that.
Yeah, so 268 miles, Edale in Derbyshire to Kirk in Scotland.
It's over the Scottish border.
Just over the Scottish border.
Yeah. So it was a lot of mountains, a lot of bog, a lot of crappy farmland as well. A lot of endless crappy farmland, which I found out really testing because it's really boring.
Yeah,
I found all the farm stuff. Just loads of it. And it, because they had so much rain over the past couple of months, it was just a fucking bog pit. really hard to move on.
And do you know how far it was to checkpoint one?
Checkpoint one?
Where was checkpoint one?
Checkpoint one's in Hebden Bridge.
Hebden, okay.
70 kilometres, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
My guess. And so, yeah, I got...
I remember you were doing all right by then, weren't you?
I was okay then, but I was starting to suffer my legs from going a bit numb.
Okay.
I twisted my knee as well on the first leg. And I wasn't really hurting then, but I could feel something going wrong.
No, it just got worse.
So it got worse as I went on for the race then. I got to Hebden Bridge. I didn't stay there long. I had about two bowls of chicken and rice soup, had some porridge, changed my socks, changed the batteries, and got back out there then.
Yeah.
Onto the second leg, which then I had a shit night then though.
So that was were you going into the night then, or was it already night?
Yeah, going into the night then.
Yeah. Tell me about the first night.
Yeah.
Then, because I remember, I checked on everyone that I knew. There's only like you. I know Debbie Consarni, and I just checked the front. And then I thought, oh, Si's doing well here. And she, like, you know, Sean from my club, Runstrong. He sent me a message, something like, any comms with Si, he's flying. Kind of thing. So then I woke up and it wasn't quite the same picture kind of thing.
No,
it's not that you weren't doing well or anything. It was just I could tell you must have had a tough night kind of thing.
Yeah, I think just as soon as I got into the night, about 12 o'clock Sunday night, I just died. Just lost all motivation.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to be there. And I just found myself just chilling on a bench. I was thinking about Jack in as well. At that point,
so that early on, you were thinking about jacking it in,
yeah, just wasn't enjoying it. I just couldn't move, I was just going so slow. And I've never ran that far before in my life. I've probably done about 60 miles before in one go, that's the most I've ever run.
Okay, yeah. What were you pushing towards 100 miles? That's when it was a bit tough, mentally, or just after
some. Yeah, about 100 kilometres, I think, isn't it?
100 kilometres, okay.
Yeah, it's 12 o'clock in the night. We started at 8 the previous morning.
Yeah. Do you think it was the distance or just the time being out kind of thing?
I think it was because I had a bit of a downer because I just couldn't keep up with them in the front.
Yeah, okay.
But then I was a bit stupid of me because all those front guys, it was only John who actually finished the race out of them lot.
Yeah. I mean,
from watching, you've got Ian Keith who come past me at a really, really slow, strong pace, and Jason Cavill as well. He came past me, and he was mixing up walking and running, and he later becomes a contender for the front spot.
Yeah.
So you've got to get that pace right.
Some of them were having like longer sleeps early on and things like this, or a longer rest at least.
Yeah.
Like it's easy. Like I've never had any intention to race it, but I've watched it every year, and it's interesting. Like you say, there's always a couple that go off the front, quite legitimately, but then there's always the ones that come through as well, just by pacing, I guess, and that kind of thing.
And if I had done like a Ian Keith pace from the start, I think I would have had a much better race. I wouldn't have got injured. I would have had lots more energy.
Because I think I think you're quite similar to me. You're a runner, so if you were strong in the in the closing stages of that race, then you'd have been a much better off, wouldn't you? But it's easy, it's easy to say when it's a 270-mile race. Was part of that creeping in when you kind of, you're thinking, oh shit, I'm struggling here and I've got 200 miles to go?
Yeah, definitely. So I was thinking, yeah, Christ, I've got to start to recover, yeah, because I can't feel my legs.
Yeah. Were you cold? Was that the cold or just effort or what?
Just effort, I think. Effort, yeah. And I just lost all the motivation because I wasn't where I wanted to be. I wanted to be racing it. And now I sort of become a survivor of the race already early on.
Yeah. But, like, did you know where you were in the race? Because I remember you were never really, you were never outside the top 10 when you were thinking like this, were you?
I wasn't thinking like that. I was just thinking, oh, Christ, you know, the front of the race is gone now.
Because whether it was through dropouts or whatever, I don't think you ever really dropped out the top 10 for a long time.
No, didn't know. Some of the guys from my running club said, you know, Simon's doing all right, but it's just dropouts. I think this race was one of the highest amount of DNFs as well in this mine this year.
What do you think that was for? Just early injuries or because of the ground or what?
Yeah, so the ground was so crap in the foot. I think everybody's just twisting ankles and twisting knees.
Yeah, I remember having a quick joke with, I sent Debbie Consarni like a good luck message during the week before, and it was like bright sunshine and everything. I just said, oh yeah, good job picking the easy year. And then as it got closer, you just knew that ground was just going to be just killer.
Yeah. I mean, they had a nice dumping of rain on the Saturday night before it as well. So yeah, it was really wet and slippery.
And when you, because like you say, just 100 kilometres plus or whatever, and you were like struggling then, thinking you're going to jack it in, what turned it around from that? Did you have to...
sat down on the bench, text the missus, and some words of encouragement from her. But then I was in the frame of mind, I didn't know where I was, and I didn't realise that there was a fueling station pretty much around the corner from where I was. And then I sat on this bench, it's in Lobbersdale, I think it is. So I'm sat on this bench, and this guy comes running up the hill, and he's like, oi, get down here, we got food, we got blankets, everything down here for you. So I'm like, oh shit, it's literally 2 minutes from us around the corner down the hill.
No way.
So yeah, I go in this little pit stop is put on by these guys. I think they were like a local running club.
So is that like an unofficial one or what kind of thing? Or?
Yeah, I don't think it was official, but because they wanted to support some of their own runners, they put on a support for everybody.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was great there. You could there was blankets, foil blankets, chairs. They cook your food, hot drinks. They even let you have a sleep there if you wanted.
Yeah.
So
did they have?
Yeah, that was a big help.
Was it just kind of at that point a bit of human contact brought you around rather than you feeling sorry for yourself?
Yeah,
I've had that before as well.
Yeah, it was good just to have a chat with people. And there's a guy already in there. He was shaking. He had hypothermia, I think. So he's just shaking away. I'm there having a cup of tea. And then a guy called Kevin Robinson comes in then. And he seems sound. Then me and him, then we team up. We do the rest of the night. Okay. And I found that big help then, just being with somebody.
Yeah.
I learned that early on. Yeah, teamwork was definitely going to make it much easier.
So, like you said, you haven't been through the night before as well in a race, I assume.
Yeah. No, never, no.
You won't have experienced that kind of, like your circadian rhythm just drops and your body wants to be asleep and then you can't make the right decisions and all that kind of thing.
And you've got nobody in front of you, no one behind you.
Yeah.
there's nothing to push you when you're on your own.
I can't imagine what that's like for the first time, because I've been there in races, but for the first time on the Pennine Way in the Spine in the middle of winter.
No, the nights weren't fun, especially on my own. I struggled.
And what was it like when you got to a checkpoint in there? Were they ran like... Were they trying to encourage you to keep moving, or were they just... Like the staff there, the volunteers, was that part of... you keeping moving kind of thing?
Yeah, the checkpoints were awesome. They were a big help. In you've got the support staff. They do absolutely everything for you. As soon as you get in there, they're taking your trainers off you, they're taking your wet gear off you. They're hanging up then in the dry rooms, and they sit you down and they just bring you whatever food you want, and they just keep bringing you bowl after bowl. And then you've got the medics then. So they've got the nasty job of sorting people's feet out, and they'll do anything they can to help you. So yeah, the checkpoints and the staff there were brilliant.
And the medics and stuff are looking after you. So I remember, like, on the Dragon's Back, you have to look after yourself. So they would literally look after your feet and stuff too.
The medics would do everything for you.
Brilliant, yeah.
So you'd come into a checkpoint broken in pieces, but then you'd leave it all taped up, happy.
Happy, yeah. And you're saying the food was going down all right, so that must have been a bit of a bonus,
Yeah, it was really good, nice food as well. Loads of nice food. Loads of lasagna, cottage pie, beef casseroles and stuff like that. I just shit loads of rice pudding. There's rice pudding everywhere.
Yeah, goes down easy, yeah.
Yeah.
So kind of you'd come out of the first night. Did you think you were going to complete it then, or did you still keep thinking?
Did I come out after the first night? I didn't think I was going to complete it at that point. I was thinking, I'll carry on. I didn't think I'm going to actually get to the end.
Yeah, okay. Wait there, it's my dog now.
Your dog's going now.
Carry on, so.
At some point, I'm gonna throw the towel in, yeah.
Yeah, I know. What point did you think, right, I'm going to get this done? Can you remember?
It was after Middleton. I teamed up with Trish Patterson then. She was the third place female.
Yeah.
So we left Middleton together. I was feeling good then, but my knee was getting worse. It was like a half checkpoint. Defton, it was after High Cup Nick, and coming down High Cup Nick, my knee was in agony then, and I was pretty much using my poles as a crutch to get down.
Okay.
And I was going to see the medic in Defton. I was thinking, oh, it's going to be it now, because I can't even walk, let alone run. So but I got to Defton, saw the medic. The medic reassured me that nothing was damaged.
Okay.
Basically said, stop being a pussy and crack on.
Yeah, yeah.
But he gave me some painkillers, and I had 2 hours sleep in Defton. I woke up feeling brilliant, and I was feeling more positive about it then.
Do you know how long was that?
We had a good
distance-wise, roughly.
I don't know.
Restricted movement, or was it swollen?
It was swollen. I couldn't bend it all the way. And it was kind of locking up at the times.
Mm.
So I was worried. Medics, once I had the assurance of the medics, I was happy to crack on, really.
Yeah.
Just walk in it then. Yeah, there was no running going on, definitely, then.
So the poles came a big kind of...
Yeah, I fell in love with the poles. Yeah, they were a lifesaver. I've never really used poles before. I bought poles only for the spine.
Yeah.
I trained with them before for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What was it like going downhill?
That was the problem. Yeah. Where it should have been my strongest part of my game, it was the weakest.
Yeah.
And it's a bit soul destroying, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't even go downhill.
Yeah. So did you stick with the same group at that time, or?
So it was me, Trish, and a guy called Jan. He was back and forth. He was always with us for quite a while. So we all had a good day. There we went up to Crossfell.
Yeah,
there's good snow up there. Brilliant winds as well. I mean, probably walking sideways like you're pissed. That was
it. Okay.
And then there's a stop off on Crossfell called Greg's Hut. It's where they it's just a refuge hut really, but they put some spine staff up there who live up there for a few days, and they cook you noodles and chat you up and get your spirits going.
It's nuts, it was good. The good laugh there. Support staff and everything. It's nuts being out there just like a week.
No, it's mental. Yeah, there was two staff and a medic just living up there. and a dog. Well, yeah, they're the lovely border collie.
Jesus. But the weather did turn okay for a bit, didn't it? You had a bit of sunshine later on.
It was a bit, yeah. I was on the last day at the Cheviot. The weather was brilliant then. But did have some shit weather, though. We had Storm Brandon.
Yeah.
That was on the Monday day. So I was going up High Cam Road then, and that was absolutely mental.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I've never had wind or rain that hurts your head when it's hitting you.
Yeah.
It's pretty mental.
Just not good slope progress then, yeah.
No, but that's the thing about the shit weather. It doesn't have to make you shift your ass.
Okay.
To get out of it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What was the longest kind of stop off in the checkpoints?
Longest stop off, I think. They're all pretty much the same. I was aiming for an hour and a half, 2 hours sleeps.
Yeah.
In all of them, apart from the first one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I remember checking and thinking, yeah, you weren't in a massive amount of time.
Third place, so she wasn't really hanging around. So yeah. she was always moving fast. So yeah, just get it done as fast as we can, really. And quite desperate to finish.
How was she? Really. Was she kind of strong throughout? And it was your injury holding your back a bit, was it?
Oh, but she was also injured as well. She had the same injury as me.
Oh, okay.
So it was and we were going at the same pace, so it worked well.
Yeah. Just how much did you talk about knees?
To be honest, right, when we were on the move, we didn't talk much at all. We were just cracking on, just trying to get it done.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, we went to the medics then. It was always we were in the same shape. Yeah. Just swollen knees, the swollen knee crew.
So you don't want it on anyone, but I guess that was worked out pretty well for both of you, didn't it? Kind of in the same situation.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. But she dropped me at the end, though.
Did she sprint off?
Yeah. No, to be honest, I tried to do it to her, but I got knackered.
God. How embarrassing.
Yeah, I smashed it up the Cheviot, and then I was done.
Did she say anything when she went past you?
I bet she was laughing on the inside, huh?
Yeah. So in total, it took 128 hours?
Yeah, something like that. 130 hours, I think, for me. I was aiming. I envisioned 100 hours before 100. I started.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's an extra day and a bit.
And what? It doesn't really matter once it gets to that stage, does it? Because you're still 13th. I checked today.
13th
male, weren't you? So overall, when you kind of. What was the last couple of miles like when you knew you were going to finish? Just relief.
They were the worst.
Or were they the worst?
They were the worst.
Yeah.
I just had nothing. Completely no. I had absolutely no energy. My feet were absolutely killing me.
Yeah.
It's like I couldn't feel them. They were just like walking on like wooden pegs.
Yeah.
I was just pushing my poles in, just trying to move myself along.
Yeah, I think it was your brain.
It was a
kind
horrible
of
finish.
Your brain had finished before. For your body,
yeah, definitely. Yeah, because you're so close and you feel like, oh, I'm there now. But then you see the sign to Kirk Yetham, 4 miles. You're like, oh, shit. And I was amazed at how slow the miles were taking as well.
There's nothing worse, is there? I remember like going back to Dragon's Back when I couldn't walk, and you're seeing a sign for, well, are you looking? And I know it's like, yeah, 5K to the finish, and you just. You wouldn't believe, if you told anyone, you wouldn't believe how long it takes you to do the 5K.
No, I know. It's mental how long it was taking us to do each leg. I was thinking, oh, it's going to be 12 hours each leg, whatnot. It was taking nearly 24 hours.
So when you did finish, when you eventually finished...
When I eventually finished, yeah.
Yeah, what was the immediate kind of thoughts then?
Just lots of emotion.
Yeah.
Just the biggest relief ever. It's a good feeling. It kind of makes it all worth it as well, in a way. Because it was a good... I'm still chuffed now that I did finish it.
You were sending out the odd message, weren't you, on Facebook, basically saying, let's get it done kind of thing from quite far out. So I was confident you were going to finish. It was just...
Yeah, I sent that message out. That was at the last checkpoint. That was so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the last leg then.
Was there a bit of that thinking? So if I send that, I've got to do it, kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I had to do it then, didn't I? Got that far. You could not do it then, can you?
Yeah. So 130. Yeah, 130 hours. It's nuts when you think about it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's with a few couple hours sleeps. A bit of faffing around as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did not. My plan was never to sleep on the trail. My plan was to always sleep at a checkpoint, but that didn't work out. I had to have a couple of naps on some benches. Sorry?
You slept on the trail?
Yeah, yeah. I slept in a toilet, a public toilet in Greenhead. That was horrible. Just lying on the floor in a hypothermic mess. I couldn't sleep because my leg was clicking on the floor.
Yeah. Okay.
Shivering so much.
Jesus.
Yeah, so that was horrible. But it helped, though. It did help. And we went to do Adrian's Wall then, and I was feeling good for that.
Was it a hand dryer?
I don't think it was a hand dryer, no.
Stubbing the hand dryer for 12 hours.
And I had a sleep in a church as well. That was before the Cheviot's climb. It was a little church. Just tested the door. It was open, happy day. So I had a little kip on the benches in the church.
Yeah.
It was cold, but still was better than sleeping on the floor outside.
So afterwards, you've got the medal kind of thing, haven't you? Was it? How long did it take you to kind of come down from it or kind of get your head together?
I got a lift back to Edinburgh that night. So as soon as I got in the hotel, that's when I chilled out then, realised it was all done now.
Yeah, yeah. What was the next couple of days? What was day one recovery like?
Next couple of days. So once I got back home on the Saturday night. I can't remember what I'd done then, but Sunday I started drinking at 11 in the morning. And I was just drinking all day on Sunday. So, I just drank a bottle of port that I had for Christmas. Yeah. And then Kelly, she kept bringing me beers. So, yeah, that was a good day.
What was the first bit of food you wanted? What were you craving for towards the end?
Pizza. Yeah. That's what I was after. Just loads of pizza.
Good old pizza. You ate loads of food, but did you lose any weight or anything?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah.
No, I think I managed to keep the weight.
Yeah, you weren't moving fast enough, were you?
I know, that's it. I didn't burn any calories.
Walking.
Yeah.
So kind of a few days after, this is what I want to know really, it's kind of, well, you've already told me, but you were dead chuffed, weren't you?
Yeah, dead chuffed, still good. Chuffed now, but I've still got my knee injury, which I'm going to the physio on Friday. Mm. I've got bad ribs from where I fell over, and my GPS unit was on my ribs, but I fell straight onto that.
Yeah.
I still can't feel my feet. No, there's no feeling them whatsoever.
Got pins and needles or anything?
For the big toes, I can't even feel them, but there's pins and needles in the little toes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that'll come back.
So hopefully, that should come back, hopefully, anyway.
Yeah, hopefully. Right then, mate. I'm glad you finished anyway. I knew you would, but that's why I sent you the odd wind-up message, maybe. But
Yeah, thanks for that. I finished. It wasn't pretty, but got to the end.
Yeah, it must have been great because you were disappointed after the day one, but then you just had to readjust, didn't you, really?
Yeah, just had to readapt.
How many times have people asked you if you're going to go back?
Quite a few people have asked me that. I will go back, but not right away. I'm in no rush.
No.
I like to go back and do it properly, do the first day properly, maybe set myself up for a better result.
Yeah. Do you think you can? Is it still a runner's race, or is it?
I don't know if it's a, you look at the state of John Kelly and all that, you know.
Yeah.
It's not a run, is it? What are you doing? I don't know.
No.
It's like a fast walk.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a different kind of animal, isn't it, that race? It's
Yeah.
You can perform well at that in your 60s, I think, if you
Ian Keefe is 51, I think.
Is he? Yeah.
She had second place.
Yeah, myself, mate. Yeah.
No.
I get.
Have I not sold it to you?
No, I said the same to Debbie. Like you've inspired me not to enter that thing because it's just I like running too much, and I wear like Berghaus mountaineering gloves in the summer.
We'd have to get you for the spine then.
Yeah, I just have like I was going to Everest kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right, mate. I will leave you to it. I'll leave you to have a good evening. But
that's fun.
What did you? Have you kind of thought about anything for this? Well, next. I know what you're doing in the summer now. You've told me, but you're doing UTS, aren't you? The 100.
Yeah, gonna give the UTS 100 a go.
Yeah.
So I've never done a 100-miler before, but now I've done a Spine. I know I can survive a long distance.
Yeah.
I've got a better idea of how to pace a long distance now, a proper long distance.
Yeah. So you just need to
I like to just go into that with a proper plan and be sensible. And hopefully have a good result from that.
Yeah, well, you will do, mate, because that goat run was a decent run, wasn't it? So I'd take a lot from that rather than the Spine race, because anything can happen in the Spine, whereas the goat, you executed that really well, didn't you?
Yeah, it's a running race, isn't it? You know, yeah. So
yeah,
hopefully UTS 100 should suit me. Hopefully,
yeah. Right. Well, hope you get healthy soon, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks for telling us more about the Spine, and I wanted to talk to someone who kind of I knew would give us an honest kind of review of the race.
It's a lot of misery, a couple of nice highs thrown in.
Yeah,
it's worth it at the end if we get to the end.
Yeah, you've got it now, haven't you? Even if you never did it again.
Yeah, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah. All right, mate. Cheers for that.
All right, nice one, Gary.
I'll catch you soon.
All right, bye.